Hello and welcome to episode number 54 of the AFTV Newscast, being recorded September 9th, 2016. My name is Elias Saba and I run AFTVnews.com, and this is where I talk about the week's Fire TV news. I'm streaming live at a new time Friday here at 11 a.m. Pacific. What is that? 2 p.m. Eastern. Already got some people watching live, so it looks like the time shift didn't affect too many people. We got a bunch of regulars, got some returned regulars, so maybe this new time is better. Of course, I always welcome people. I love when people can watch live and tweet back and forth with me. Well, not back and forth. I talk to you, you tweet at me, so that's how it works. But yeah, I stream every Fridays now at 11 a.m. Pacific. Please watch live if you can. It's really fun. Makes the whole podcast a lot funner on my end. So I really love when people watch live. Got a bunch to talk about. We've got some new Fire TV features we're going to talk about. Got some rooting news to talk about. Also got some new hardware from Amazon, new tablet, new news as far as Alexa goes. So really going to be a nice, good, full episode. So let's go ahead and get right into it. All right, first bit of news, something that people have been wanting to come to the Fire TV for a very long time is finally here, and that is full-blown Netflix integration into the Fire TV search and the Fire TV interface. Now, what that means is Netflix's entire catalog is now accessible through the Fire TV search. If you just talk to Alexa, either the voice search, or go ahead and use the on-screen keyboard, or even the Fire TV app lets you type through that. About anything you search for, if it is available through Netflix, that will be indicated. Even content that is only available through Netflix, like some of Netflix's original content, that also comes up in the Fire TV interface. And the beauty, what I mean by full integration, is that when you see something in the actual Fire TV interface, if it is available through Netflix, you can select Netflix. There's the button will say watch on Netflix. You click the button and the Netflix app will launch and just immediately start playing. You don't have to go through and search through the Netflix app also. So this is the same type of integration other services have had for a while. Services like Hulu, services like Showtime, Crackle, they've all been integrated like this, but Netflix obviously is the big one. It is the most popular streaming service, and it's the one that people have been asking for a long time. The Netflix CEO, back when the Fire TV One was first announced in April of 2014, said that this would come to the Fire TV, that Netflix would integrate into the Fire TV search. And it just never happened, probably because Amazon and Netflix have kind of been bumping heads because they are competing services. They're the two biggest streaming services out there. But thankfully, they've been able to work things out and we now have full Netflix integration. There are other services also. So HBO Go is now also fully integrated in the Fire TV interface. Same thing where if you've got the HBO Go app installed and you search for something and it is available through that HBO Go app, it will come up and tell you when there'll be an option to play it through there. If something is available from multiple sources, of course, that will show also. It's not only Netflix. So if you don't have a Netflix subscription, it's not like Netflix is going to override Prime or override other subscription options. You'll see a more ways to watch button. I'm not sure how Amazon determines what to show first. So if something's available on multiple services, I'm not sure which one takes precedence. I don't know if it has to do with each account or if it's just a general rule that they always, you know, let Netflix take precedence over HBO, for example. But you will always have that more ways to watch button down here. So it'll always show you every single way that the Fire TV is aware that this piece of content is available, whether it is renting, buying, or all the different streaming services. So they'll all be listed there. So no worries there. So really nice to see that this feature has finally come. So Amazon actually says that the Fire TV now has the largest universal search library. They claim that there are over 75 different streaming services that can be searched through the Fire TV's interface. Now, I don't know for sure where they get that number, but I think it's a bit of a stretch because I have a feeling that they are counting all of their add-on subscription services in that value. And there are, I believe, about 50 or so add-on subscription options that are available through Amazon Prime Video. Now, if you don't remember, those are the ones where you can pay a little bit extra to add more content onto your Prime Video subscription, essentially. And so there are a lot of different services available there. There's Stars, there's Showtime. You know, those are the two big ones, but then there are a lot of more niche services available. And so technically you can search the Fire TV's interface and all of that content shows up, even if it's not available through Amazon directly and it's only available through those services. Those do show up. So I have a feeling that Amazon is using all 50 of those as kind of a buffer for their 75 plus value. But it is what it is, you know, and you really, those the little guys don't really matter as much, you know. It's the big names, the HBOs, the Showtimes, the Stars, the Netflixes, those are the ones, the Hulus, the Crackle, those are the ones you really want, and thankfully now the Fire TV pretty much covers all of the big ones, and so, you know, great to see this feature finally come. Another new feature that was pretty much revealed this week, I believe both of these features, the Netflix integration and this new feature with Alexa and voice control that I'm about to talk about. I think both of those were added kind of as sleeper features in the previous software update, the 5.2.1.1 software update. Amazon has been doing this a lot lately where they'll release a software update, they'll get it onto all of the devices, then they'll kind of activate the features and wake them up and basically put out the press releases that, look, these are all the great new features, so that Fire TV owners can actually go to their TVs or go to their devices and actually like use the features immediately. They don't have to wait a week and or 2 weeks and contact customer support and ask why this feature isn't working, all that stuff. So yeah, they've been doing this whole sleeper features that get activated after the fact pretty regularly now. So the other feature that has been added is now the ability to move forward and backward within the video that you're watching using only your voice. And so if you're watching a video, the video has to be watched through the actual Amazon Fire TV interface. It doesn't work within apps like Netflix or any app really. It has to be actually streaming from Amazon through the actual Fire TV interface. So obviously all of Prime content's available, all of the add-on subscription videos and TV shows and movies work through this. But basically you can say, you know, skip ahead 2 minutes or skip back 30 seconds or any arbitrary value, you know, into the voice remote, and the Fire TV will just do it. You know, it's very seamless. So the voice prompt just shows up right over the video that you're watching, listens to you, and then about a second later will actually, you know, execute once it figures out that what you're asking for. So a really nice little handy feature. You know, again, you can say any arbitrary time. You could say rewind 1 minute, 35 seconds, and it understands it and it moves back like that. It's really handy for, say, you didn't hear something on the actual, you know, video that you're watching, and you could just move back 30 seconds real quick, you know, because it is a little cumbersome to actually use the fast forward and rewind to get an exact amount that you want. So really handy feature. I think this feature first came to the Apple TV, you know, when the new Apple TV was launched about a year ago, Siri had this ability. One handy thing with the Apple TV is that you could actually just say, what did he say, or something like that, and it would know that meant, you know, rewind 30 seconds and turn on closed captioning. So it's really a nice handy feature of the Apple TV. And so while the Fire TV doesn't turn on the closed captioning, at least you can now rewind with the voice. And again, you can move forward too. You can actually also just pick up the voice remote and say next if you're watching a TV show, and the Fire TV will automatically just jump to the next episode in that TV show. And so you don't have to actually exit out and, you know, move forward to the next show and hit play. You just simply pick up the remote, hit the voice button, say next, and it'll move forward. Oddly enough, it does not move backwards, so you can't say previous or back or anything like that. Alexa will actually respond with, I cannot move backwards, or something like that. So not sure why you can't move backwards, but you can move forward if that's what you want. So nice little feature that was added to the Fire TV this week. And the next little feature that was added this week is now a new sports update ability to Alexa. This is coming to both the Amazon Echo, Echo Dot, Amazon Tap, and the Fire TV and Fire TV Stick. So basically all of the Alexa enabled devices are getting this new feature. So you've always been able to actually just ask Alexa for sports scores or how a team is doing, and Alexa will respond with when their next game is or what the last game score was and so forth. And so you could always do that. But now this sports update feature lets you go into the Alexa app, either on the smartphone or through a browser if you go to alexa.amazon.com. And through the app under the settings section, there's now a new sports update area where you can actually add all of your favorite sports teams. And then when you ask Alexa for your sports update, Alexa will basically go through all of those teams that you've added and give you the update for each team. So basically it's a way of triggering the same thing that you could do before by asking each and every single team one after another, but it's a way now that you can trigger it all at once, because most people want to hear about all of the teams that they care about, not just one of them. So it makes sense that this feature was added. So very simple little feature. And of course on the Fire TV you still also get the visual representation for each and every team that Alexa goes through. So nice, very simple but handy little feature that all Alexa devices can now do. Next up, I did want to mention that the Fire TV Stick went on sale this week, down $5 from its regular price. Not that big a deal, and I know most of you probably aren't really that interested in buying a Fire TV Stick right now when we're kind of expecting new hardware to come around. But what is interesting is that the Fire TV sale was extended another week. So the Fire TV sale that happened last week, that started last Monday, basically, got extended for another week. And that's the first time I believe Amazon has ever done that. Usually when they have these sales, they never really last longer than a week. And these sales are like the standard sales. Basically, I figure the Fire TV stick goes down $5. The Fire TV goes down $15. Amazon has these every few months, essentially. And, you know, the fact that the Fire TV sale got extended and the Fire TV stick is on sale right now. And I believe the Fire TV and the Fire TV stick have never been on sale, the standard sale, at the same time. Of course, we had Prime Day sales and Black Friday sales and those kinds of special sales, but these standard sales, I don't think both devices have ever, you know, overlapped in sales. And so the oddity of this sale, the extension of the Fire TV sale, is just kind of more indication that Amazon is looking to get rid of the current stock of devices so that when they do announce the new ones, which we are still expecting to happen this month at some point, it does look like Amazon is trying to get rid of that existing stock, you know, to make room for the new devices so they don't get stuck with all these older ones. All right, moving on to some rooting news. So Arbox has released a pre-rooted ROM version of the latest software update 5.2.1.1 for the Fire TV 1. He has not released this new ROM for the Fire TV 2 just yet. That's mostly my fault. I had a little hiccup with my setup that I used to actually capture the update URLs for Arbox and then pass it on to him so that he can create these ROMs. And so I caught the Fire TV 1's update URL early on, passed that on to him, and he was able to make this ROM and release it. But it wasn't until earlier this week that I actually was able to capture the Fire TV 2's URL. So I just barely got that to him, and so he hasn't had time to make that ROM, the 5.2.1.1 ROM for the Fire TV 2. But he does plan to make it. Not sure when he's going to be able to do that, but most likely I would expect that to come out soon. So don't worry, Fire TV 2 rooted device owners, that ROM should be out somewhat soon, hopefully. For those who aren't aware of what ROMs are and what I'm talking about here, what's a pre-rooted ROM? These are basically software updates that allow people who have rooted Fire TVs to update their software version without losing root. So if a rooted Fire TV takes an over-the-air software update, they will lose root. Basically, the update will override custom recovery that's installed, TWRP that is, and it will basically remove root, and then they'll lose root. And because the latest software versions cannot be rooted, you know, that's not something that a rooted Fire TV owner wants to do. But so that we don't stay on the old software versions, thankfully, Arbox releases these pre-rooted ROMs. So it's basically the exact same update file, but it has been pre-rooted. So when you install this update within TWRP, it maintains root, but gives you all the new features that the latest software version has. So it's really important that rooted devices get these new ROMs from Arbox. As always, whenever Arbox releases these new ROMs, I always encourage everybody who has the means to donate to Arbox. I will put a link down in the show notes directly to a link that lets you donate to Arbox. Again, a few bucks, $5, $10, whatever you can afford, if anything. Help him out. Keep him releasing these ROMs, because, I mean, honestly, if he did not release these ROMs, I don't know if rooted devices would be able to update at all. You know, basically, if these ROMs didn't come out, a rooted Fire TV would actually basically have to wait until a new rooting method came out for the newer software version. And then you'd have to basically let it update over the air, install the new version, which would remove rooting, and then use the new rooting method to reroot. It would be a very cumbersome process, not nearly as nice, not nearly as elegant as these pre-rooted ROMs that Arbox releases. So really encourage him. I always, you know, send him a few bucks here and there whenever I can. And I really hope that other people are doing the same thing, just to, you know, keep him helping the community the way he is. All right, moving on to non-Fire TV news that is still somewhat related. Amazon has released a brand new Fire HD 8 tablet. I talked about the FCC document that came out for this tablet basically a few weeks ago. I actually incorrectly thought it was going to be a new version of the cheap $50 Fire 7-inch tablet, but turns out it's a new Fire HD 8 tablet. Probably the most interesting new feature of this new tablet is now Amazon has brought Alexa to their tablet line. And so this tablet will have Alexa capabilities built in, similar to the Fire TV. You'll basically be able to hold the home button on this tablet and, you know, bring up the microphone listening and talk to Alexa, and Alexa will respond the same way it does on the Fire TV, same way it responds on the Echo and the Tap and all those Alexa-enabled devices on the tablet. We'll also show you a visual card, kind of similar to how you see a card on the Fire TV's interface. So really nice to see Alexa coming to some kind of mobile device for the first time. In addition to Alexa coming to this new Fire HDA tablet, Alexa is actually going to be added to the older existing tablets through a software update in the coming months. We don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but the Fire $50 7-inch tablet, the last generation Fire HDA tablet, and the current existing Fire HD 10 tablet. So those three tablets plus this new one are all going to get Alexa capabilities. And basically it's going to be the same all across all of them. It's still going to be Fire OS 5. So we're not jumping up to Fire OS 6 just yet. But Fire OS 5 is going to be updated. I think I read it was Fire OS 5.3, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, you'll be able to hold the home button and just talk to Alexa and basically do everything that Alexa can do. You can control smart home devices. You can launch apps, which is going to be really handy on a tablet. I think more so than on the Fire TV. I know on the Fire TV, you could now use Alexa to launch applications and movies and videos and that sort of stuff on the Fire TV. But I think that feature will be a little bit more handy on tablets because you'll probably tend to install a lot more apps on a tablet than you do on the Fire TV. The Fire TV's app store is a lot more limited, you know, only about 5,000, a little over 5,000 apps. But you know, as Amazon's Android app store for the actual tablets is in the hundreds of thousands, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, really going to be a nice handy feature for the Alexa on the tablets. Now, as far as the hardware specs of the new tablet, that actually I think is one of the most interesting aspects of it. I wrote this article, Amazon's Tablet Strategy of Less is More. And so basically what I've been kind of talking about the next generation Fire TV potentially being not necessarily better in all aspects than the existing model. It kind of this shows the strategy that Amazon has been doing with their hardware. And it's mostly apparent in their tablets. And so basically this new Fire HD 8 tablet is actually worse as far as specs in a lot of categories than the last generation Fire HD 8 tablet. And so if you were watching the video version here, you could see this little chart that shows which specs have actually gotten worse, which specs have actually gotten better. And basically Amazon, it looks like they are trying to kind of fine tune their tablet to be a really good content consumption device, you know, videos, TV shows, that sort of stuff. And not so much trying to take on like the flagship tablets like the iPads and so forth. The hardware specs that have actually gone down are actually CPU. So this new tablet has a 1.3 gigahertz quad core versus a 1.5 gigahertz quad core on the previous generation. Resolution is the same on the screen, so that was not bumped up. It's still a 1280 by 800 high def screen. It actually lost 802.11ac and now only is capable of 802.11n. And the cameras have actually taken the biggest hit. The old HD8 cameras were a 5 megapixel on the back and a 720p video camera on the front. Now it's a 2 megapixel on the back and a VGA on the front. And the battery life has actually been bumped up to 12 hours from 8 hours. The storage has been bumped up from 8 gigabytes to 16 gigabytes. And the RAM has actually been bumped up from 1 gigabyte to 1.5 gigabyte. So what does all this mean? And why is this actually good? Mostly because of the price. So the old tablet was $150. This new one is only $90. 40% off basically what the last generation price was, which is a huge, huge discount, you know, for a brand new tablet, brand new device. Now, basically, I analyzed in this little article that I wrote, you know, which aspects were actually lowered, which aspects were actually, you know, improved on the tablet. And you can basically clearly see that Amazon is trying to go for that perfect, cheap media consumption device. And so the specs that were increased, RAM, you know, it's nice to have a little extra RAM when you're browsing through a whole bunch of different, you know, thumbnails, when you're browsing through Netflix app or when you're browsing through the tablet's Prime video catalog. It's nice to have that little bit of extra RAM so that it's a smooth experience and so that it's not, you know, struggling with all the thumbnails, all the images that show. The extra internal storage is great, obviously, because Amazon now has offline viewing, and so you can download more content for offline viewing with that double the internal storage. And of course the new tablet still has a micro SD card slot, and you can use that for offline viewing of content also, so you can store content on that SD card. And so, you know, it's really a good device for that. As far as what they actually reduced, you know, the CPU is really not important. I've talked about this before. Because all of these devices have dedicated hardware decoders, the CPU basically sits idle almost while you're watching high def video. And so you really don't need a really powerful CPU to watch video, to consume content like that. And so they bumped that down probably to save a little bit of money. As far as the Wi-Fi, bumping that down to 802.11n is plenty sufficient. 802.11n theoretically maxes out around that 300, 400 megabit per second. 1080p video streams at less than 10 megabits per second. So, I mean, even 802.11g is plenty sufficient for high def 1080p video streaming. And so there's really no need for 802.11ac on a tablet that's really designed primarily for, you know, consuming content, consuming video. And that's, you know, that's basically it. You know, the price is only $90 now for a tablet. That is pretty much the best $90 you could spend if you want to consume video. You know, you can't beat it. And that's basically what Amazon is going for with this new model. So Laurie actually on Twitter is chiming in asking, the lower price is nice, but do you still need the power to stream? Do you think it's too low? No, because of that hardware decoder. So all of these modern chips in smartphones and tablets and the Fire TV, they all have dedicated hardware other than the CPU that actually is in charge of decoding video. And so because that hardware decodes the video, it is designed to decode H.264 or H.265, depending on the capabilities. It's designed to decode that 1080p video. And so that if you monitor the CPU usage while you're streaming 1080p video or even 4K video on something like the Fire TV 2, that decoder is doing all of the heavy lifting. And so the CPU sits there doing nothing. Hopefully I'll have a video that demonstrates this out relatively soon. I've been working on it, just getting the last little bits. I got to record the voiceover for it, but it demonstrates how as long as you have the right hardware decoder in there and the stream is at the right codec, meaning H.264 or H.265, the CPU of these devices is really doing nothing. And the most important thing about the CPU is if you want to play games and that sort of stuff, that's where you're going to need the CPU and the GPU. But this tablet is really not tailored towards that. It's probably going to be fine playing, you know, your basic casual gaming, but you're not going to be able to play really, you know, high quality games, you know, high quality mobile games like you might be able to on something like an iPad or iPad Pro or something like that. But yeah, really this quad core 1.3 gigahertz processor is plenty strong enough for consuming video on this device. If you're planning to do more than just, you know, use this tablet for browsing the web, consuming video, maybe playing casual games, if you want to do more than that, then definitely this tablet is probably not for you. You should look at something like the iPad line, like the Samsung Galaxy line of tablets. Those are definitely much better for basically, you know, being more laptop replacement tablets where you really want to do a lot of stuff. You want to do multitasking, that sort of stuff. But that's not the market that Amazon is going for with these tablets. And so, you know, I think they're doing a great job of just making the best device at the least expensive price, you know, for consuming media, which is basically what, you know, their customers are doing mostly on these tablets. All right, next up, got a couple Alexa related topics to talk about. First up, it looks like Alexa is finally coming to the UK. So if you actually have an Alexa enabled device, you can ask it what's happening on September 14th and Alexa will respond, "I promised I wouldn't tell, but a visit to London has always been on my bucket list." And so, you know, that's pretty damn good evidence that there's going to be a big announcement on September 14th and it's related to Alexa and the UK. I know a lot of you out there are in the UK and you've been wanting and asking when is Alexa going to come. Finally, looks like it's going to happen. We really don't know any details about this other than it's probably going to happen on September 14th. We don't know for sure if it's going to come to Fire TV devices. We know all Fire TVs sold in the UK are capable of having Alexa capabilities in there. They're the same hardware. They're basically the same operating system even. It's just the Alexa aspect that is available in the US on Fire TVs is disabled on UK Fire TVs. And so hopefully this means that on September 14th, Alexa will come to all UK Fire TVs as well. Don't be alarmed, in my opinion, if we don't see Alexa coming to Fire TVs in the UK and it only comes to Echo and Tap and Echo Dot, and those devices actually get launched in the UK. I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon saves Alexa on Fire TV in the UK for a new Fire TV device and then announce that it's also coming to the older ones also. You know, that's kind of the type of thing that they would do where if there's a new big feature, they'll save it for the new hardware so that when they announce the new hardware, they can say, look, now Fire TV has Alexa also. And so it sells that new hardware. So don't be alarmed if September 14th comes and we only see Echo and Tap devices launched and Alexa on those devices come to the UK, hopefully it'll come to the Fire TV eventually also. And the second bit of Alexa news that I wanted to talk about is this report coming out of this website called The Information. I don't know how credible it is, but a lot of big tech sites have picked it up. So it seems like their sources are somewhat credible at least. But they are reporting that Amazon is considering adding unprompted notifications to Alexa. What that means is Alexa on devices like the Echo and the Tap will be able to actually just speak without being spoken to first. And so currently, really the only way for the Echo or the Tap to make any kind of noise is either if you have an alarm set, obviously it will, you know, alert you of an alarm or a timer if that goes off, but you have to actually speak to it for it to actually respond or tell you anything. So if this report is true, it means that developers will gain the ability to actually trigger voice notifications and or visual notifications using the actual Echo's LED ring at the top. You know, they might be able to just flash that and then that'll kind of alert you instead of actually just blurting out something. But a lot of developers have been wanting this feature. You know, there are smart home devices that want to have the ability to basically trigger Alexa to just speak and tell you something that has occurred. For example, I saw a CEO of a smart doorbell company. I forget which one it was, but basically they want the ability to, when somebody presses that doorbell, for Alexa to actually just basically alert you and tell you that somebody's at the door. And so, you know, hopefully Amazon is smart with what kind of abilities they give developers so that it doesn't become annoying. You know, I hope they give users the capability to actually choose whether they do want this functionality or not. So, you know, if they don't want to be interrupted, obviously they'll be able to turn that off. You know, I can't imagine that Amazon will give developers just free range to blurt out anything they want through Amazon Echo and through the Tap without giving users the ability to disable that. So, you know, I can't imagine that's going to be the case. So I know a lot of people are worried. They don't want their Echo to be interrupting them or, you know, maybe waking them up in the middle of the night because they're telling them they got a new email or something silly like that. I'm sure there'll be control. We don't know when this is coming. We don't know if it's just kind of something they've been thinking about doing or whether it's something that's in the pipeline that's going to be announced, you know, September 14th, maybe when Echo is coming to the UK. So we really don't know. We don't know if it's going to come to the Fire TV devices. You know, maybe when your Fire TV is on, you're watching something, Alexa on the Fire TV will be able to just, you know, blurt something out and give you a notification of something. You know, I think that'd be pretty interesting. You know, it's very powerful. It could be annoying if done incorrectly, but it could be very nice, very powerful new feature if done well. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, what comes of this. All right, let's get into the Q&A section of the episode. As always, I put a post up on Thursdays asking people to submit their questions for me to try to answer here on the episode. I always take questions live, of course, while I'm streaming. Again, I stream at 11 a.m. now Pacific every Friday. And so I welcome people to watch live so they can interact with me, ask me questions. We already had that question from Lori earlier about the HD8 CPU, the new one. And now we've got another question here from Faux Busy Boy. He asks, do you think Apple's new voice control scheme with Siri in your ear will disrupt Amazon's voice control ecosystem? No, I really don't. Faux Busy Boy is probably referring to the new wireless earbuds that Apple announced with the new iPhone 7 earlier this week. And so with that, you can actually talk to Siri and put that in your ear. I don't think that will really change anything, you know, not just for Amazon, but just for Apple in general, because you've always had that ability to talk to Siri with Bluetooth wireless earbuds. And so, you know, I really don't think it's going to change, especially when it's on a $150, $160 piece of hardware that most people are not going to own. I really think for any feature to really disrupt and change the landscape of things, it has to be there by default. It has to be in a product at the start. You know, something that requires you to buy something for it to actually even work, to have that, you know, Siri in your ear ability. I really don't think it's going to make a difference. As far as disrupting Amazon's voice ecosystem, it's really completely different. I mean, Amazon is going for the home with Echo being the forefront of their voice interface. You know, they're bringing that to other devices like their portable speaker, now the tablet on mobile, and the Fire TV, of course. But really, it's mostly in the home. It's mostly to control those smart home devices and just to have that assistant just there in the home. The mobile landscape has already, you know, kind of have the voice interface set. You know, Google has they really don't have a name for it, but it's just Google Voice, basically. And so Siri has been in the iPhone for, you know, many years now. And so I think everything's pretty much set, you know, and I don't really think that the AirBuds, the wireless Siri in your ear headphones are really going to make any difference. All right, next question here from Laurie. First, she's asking about the CW coming to the Fire TV. She's heard some rumors and is wondering if I've heard anything. I really haven't. It's tough to know when these other networks bring Fire TV devices. You know, a lot of times we get little leaks here and there. If you go to their like activation screen, a lot of times they'll add something like the Fire TV before there is even a Fire TV app to activate. You know, we saw that with the NFL Sunday ticket app that was just released last week. And so, but no, I haven't heard anything about the CW. Lori's also asking if I use a DVR device for over the air. She's looking at the TiVo, the Tableau, and the Channel Master. I personally use the Tableau. I don't really use it that often, honestly, but I really don't use it that much. It's just there kind of like as a backup. My local news networks pretty much all have online streams that I use mostly on my phone and either AirPlay that over to the Fire TV or something like that. So really, I don't really watch much over-the-air content at all, but I do have a Tableau. The interface is very, you know, it leaves some to be desired, let's just say. It does a really decent job of actually recording for DVR purposes, but actually watching a live stream is where I don't like. You can't really channel flip very well through the Tableau. I've not tried the TiVo or the Channel Master, so I can't really comment. I will say that if you are looking at getting some kind of over-the-air device, hold out at least another month or two. There's a lot of new stuff happening in the over-the-air department. TiVo is coming out with a Mantis device that was just leaked through the FCC. That's going to be like a networked over-the-air device. I think HD Home Run is looking at some new stuff coming out of there maybe soon. And Sling is actually teaming up with Sling Media, and they're going to be releasing a over-the-air device that actually integrates into the Sling TV app. And so there's a lot of over-the-air devices coming out from big names in the next couple months. So I would definitely hold out, Lori, for those to see, you know, to make sure you have your options. All right, next question is from Rex. They say, when I go to settings, application, manage installed application, Netflix, show ESN, I get a pop-up with a string of letters and numbers. What is it for? ESN is short for electronic serial number. Basically, that number is just a way for Netflix to identify that specific installation of Netflix. I would imagine, I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that if you contact their customer support, they might ask for that value so that they can kind of debug something and figure out if there's something going on with your device or your stream specifically. Really, it's nothing that you need to be concerned about or anything. It's just a serial number that identifies that specific installation of the Netflix app on the Fire TV. All right, next question is from Ewell. He's asking if TWRP for the Fire TV stick is dead in the water. No, absolutely not. I've been talking to Arbox this week and last week also about Fire TV sticks specifically and TWRP for them. He is still actively developing it. He's getting closer. It looks like right now he's going to go with the scheme where you can get into TWRP either through a OTG cable so that you can plug in an actual, you know, USB device like a keyboard and that'll get you into TWRP, or you'll be able to do it over the network and control TWRP from a PC so that, you know, from there you can actually send commands and make menu selections and that sort of stuff. He was definitely trying to experiment with a bunch of different ways so that it would be easy for people to actually control TWRP on this Fire TV stick and to actually get into TWRP on the Fire TV stick. He played a little bit with enabling the actual remote control within TWRP, but it didn't look like that was going to pan out. He also played a little bit with actually controlling TWRP through CEC, which is that doing it over HDMI, so that people who had that ability on their Fire TV could actually do it. But it looks like there's a lot of proprietary stuff there, so that's not going to work out also. But no, definitely TWRP for the Fire TV stick is not dead in the water. Arbox is still actively working on it, still plans to release it. Of course, there's no time frame. He does not know when he's going to be able to actually finish it up, but know that he is still working on it. All right, next question is from Josh. He's waiting for the next gen devices and is asking if Amazon has a typical timeline for releasing the Fire TV. For example, do they file the FCC and then ship the product X months later? We can only go by what they've done in the past, and the Fire TV 2 actually hit the FCC. The documents for the Fire TV 2 hit the FCC today, September 9th last year. So it's September 9th, 2015. the Fire TV 2's FCC documents were, you know, were revealed. And a week later, basically 7 or 8 days later, I believe it was, the actual Fire TV 2 was announced. So that's the time frame that we're going off of from last year. I would expect if we are going to see a new Fire TV 3 released this month, that we're probably going to see FCC documents come next week, and then probably a new device shortly after. There's no set in stone time frame, though. I mean, we could see FCC documents come out, and then, you know, months later a device come out. You know, we've seen that with Amazon. You know, this new tablet, for example, we saw those documents of several weeks ago in the FCC, and so only now the device came out. So it doesn't mean that just because last year we saw a 1 week gap between FCC and actual device release, it doesn't mean that that's going to be the case this year. But I am expecting a new Fire TV or a new Fire TV stick soon, and hopefully we'll see some FCC documents come next week. Next question from Frederick. He's asking if there's a way to get a non-US address set into the Alexa app so that Alexa can respond to questions relative to an address. He's in Sweden, and so he wants to set his address there. No, unfortunately, there is not a way. I mean, even if you were able to get an address that wasn't in the US set in the Alexa app or the Alexa web portal, it doesn't necessarily mean that Alexa will be able to respond correctly to that address. You know, for example, in the US, the main purpose to actually add your physical street address into Alexa is to get local business results when you ask for them. You can ask for the phone number of like a local restaurant, or you can ask when a business opens or closes. You can ask how far away a business is. And just because you have the address set doesn't mean that Alexa is aware of your local businesses. So yeah, there's no way to do it. And even if you could do it, it wouldn't probably really help you much. So hopefully come September 14th, we'll actually hear about Alexa expanding into other areas. You know, I would imagine it's going to start with the UK, but then shortly after that, hopefully we'll see other European countries get Alexa capabilities. All right, next question is from Joe. He says he just updated from OS 3 to OS 5, the pre-rooted versions, that is, and he's not seeing Kodi show up in his recent app list, and he's wondering if there's any way to fix that. He's already gone through my guide that has all the different suggestions. For this, Joe, I would recommend actually installing the 5.0.5.1 pre-rooted ROM. So install that ROM first, or not first. I mean, I know you've already installed the 5.2.1.1 pre-rooted ROM, but go ahead and go back, downgrade, and just install the 5.0.5.1 pre-rooted ROM on top of what you've already got installed. The reason I say to install that ROM is because that ROM explicitly has in it code that looks to see if you have Kodi installed, and it adds it to your recent list. And so I would say install the 5.0.5.1 ROM. Kodi should show up on your recent list once you boot up. Then you can go back and install the 5.2.1.1 ROM on top of what you just installed. And so that should fix it there. Joe is also asking about Firestarter. He says he enabled it using the PM enable command, but it's still not working there. This could be a result of the new specific Not In My House blacklisting app that I talked about a few weeks ago that just got added with this 5.2.1.1 update. I'm not sure. I still need time to investigate that app further. Now that we have the pre-rooted ROMs, I can actually do it more efficiently. But there's a chance that that app is having to do with that. But just know that you need to not just enable Firestarter, you need to actually also disable the blacklisting mechanism. And so just enabling Firestarter doesn't mean that it's going to stay there, because the next time you reboot your device, the blacklisting mechanism is going to go ahead and remove Firestarter again. So I'll put a link in the show notes to the guide that has you actually disable the disabling blacklisting function of the Fire TV. But know that Firestarter is not going to work that well with the latest 5.2.1.1 version because of the changes in that version. It's 5.0.5 is the latest version that works really well with Firestarter. And so Firestarter is really important to you, and you really want all those capabilities, home button detection, auto launching, all that stuff. 5.0.5 is really the best software version for that. All right, that'll conclude the 54th episode of the AFTV Newscast. Thank you so much for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube and you enjoyed what you're watching, please go ahead, click through, hit that like button on YouTube. Really helps. Also, subscribe to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/AFTV News. I really, really hope to get that video that compares the different decoders and shows you really what they're doing and why the CPU is not that important. I really hope to get that video out in the next week. I'm really making it a goal. So hopefully I'll have that out there soon. So definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're interested in that, interested in new videos coming out. Of course, you can get the audio version also through all the usual podcast sources, through iTunes, through Google Play Music, through Stitcher, through TuneIn. So definitely subscribe there if you're interested in just getting the audio version. And of course, I stream live now every Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Please watch live. Please interact on Twitter if you can, if you're interested. Just even pop in, say hello, say you're watching is plenty enough for me. Really fun to get the people who are watching live and interact back and forth. So always love to do that. Thank you so much for watching, and hopefully I'll see you again next week.